Hello?
Hello?
How are you?
I'm tired. I don't know why, but I am tired.
Ah.
T-U-R-D, tired.
Probably because you're partying all night, ripping it up. Woo!
Not really.
Oh, my gosh. Hold on. Let me get my camera plugged in here.
Okay.
I got a lot of light.
Yeah, I haven't even off since Wednesday.
Oh, you've been off since Wednesday?
Yeah, I had a doctor's appointment Thursday morning at 9:30. And we discovered something during that doctor's appointment.
Are you pregnant?
No, I was having some major eye issues.
Oh, shit.
I couldn't see going into work.
Is that related to your diabetes and the sugar?
No, I just couldn't see going into work for the rest of the day.
Oh, you had anal glaucoma.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see my ass going to work today.
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night. Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, and Michael, that virtual Uber guy. Tonight, Pokemon Go or Pokemon Stop? Google Forget, a Nevernote. Have you heard about this? And terrorism, shootings, and cops. Oh my. All that and more on Late Night. And now, digitally gathering to think cool thoughts. Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM, show number 217. A very special show tonight.
Ah.
You know why it's special?
Why?
I don't know. It's just special because that's what everybody else is saying on all their shows and on television and everything. A very special.
Oh, well, they're back to school special.
Yeah, I figured we'd be special, too.
Okay, we're special.
Okay. So, from the special area we call the Monadnock area, and our region, actually, the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, I'm Barry J.
And from south central New Hampshire, actually still also part of the Monadnock region, this is Joel.
And that's it for right now. Michael's here, and then he left because he had to do something. He said he's going to return. Mm-hmm. We decided to start the show without him. Hopefully he'll jump in. Mm-hmm. Barty couldn't make it tonight, so you're stuck with Joel and me right now.
Oh my God, this is almost like the old Radio QRM days.
I know, it is, isn't it? Wow. Yeah.
I know. We got to come up with some tunes.
Radio QRM. Oh, I wish I had some of the jingles.
I know, the old bumpers. I miss those old bumpers, man. Those were good. I really did enjoy them.
I'll have to drag some of them up. I still have them.
We ought to make some new bumpers for this one. I ought to stop on over in the studio.
Yeah.
We can, you know, we'll officially call it working to make radio bumpers, but actually we'll be drinking beer.
That's right. And getting sloshed. Well, maybe not just beer.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'll get a gallon of port. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's
oh, yes, yes. We'll just make sure we'll take our vitamins beforehand. Absolutely.
All right, speaking of drinking.
Now everybody's died, so until our tears are dried, we'll drink and drink and drink and drink, and then we'll drink some more. We'll dance and sing and fight until the early morning light, then we'll throw up, pass out, wake up, and then go drinking once again.
Okay, Michael, you're up. Michael?
Well, tonight I happen to be drinking some Yellowtail Moro and also having it mixed with
A Black Russian.
A Black Russian with a splash of vitamin water. Yeah.
As we call it, a little Black Russian tail.
It's a little Black Russian tail with a shipwreck chaser.
And I'm... Because I'm so tired, and because actually Anne-Marie made us some pomegranate, is that how you say it? Pomegranate? Yeah, martinis. Vodka martinis for dinner, which really started putting me to sleep quickly. Let's just face it, folks, I'm tired. So
yeah.
I switched to Diet Mountain Dew.
For the extra caffeine
kick.
Well, that hopefully will do the trick. If not, then you have to break out the monsters.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're all at work. I keep them at work.
Well, we're going to have to make sure that there's some in the QRM beer reader.
Yeah, I should, because I keep them at work in my diabetic refrigerator. That the company gave me, so I can keep my insulin cold in it.
That's excellent. And you can also keep the diabetic Thai leftovers.
Yes. And the diabetic monster drinks. Exactly. Yeah.
But, moving on.
Yeah.
So now... tonight I happen to be for dinner, and I almost mean virtually for dinner, I had apple martinis, which was, my homemade concoction of the Pinnacle vodka, the sour apple pucker liqueur, and a Sprite.
That's a sour apple pucker.
Yes, there you have it. It'll make you pucker. And, had a sippy cup and a half of that before I decided to eat, so that kind of made me feel a little, let's just say, relaxed. And then switched now to the Crown Royal Apple and Coke.
Oh, wow. There's an apple theme throughout the entire evening.
I'm looking forward to autumn. That's my way. My tribute to looking forward to autumn and apples is drinking apple booze for this weekend.
Now, if I were good around here, I would have made some kind of martini out of the blueberries, which are now becoming ripe and my God, they're all over the place. And Emery's picking basketfuls of them every morning she goes out. She beats the birds.
Yes.
To the blueberries.
With a tennis racket.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Quit eating my blueberries. No, actually, that makes me think, I'll be over sometime tomorrow to pick up some berries, because now I want waffles.
Ah, there you go. You don't have blueberries up your way? I mean, they freaking grow all over the place here.
Yeah, well, actually, we do have them growing around here, and I know Debbie walks around the property, and there's blueberry plants, and pants. Well, it could be blueberry pants, too. I don't know if they grow, but I know... The plants grow, and she'll pick them and eat them while she's, out and about.
Well, it's funny. We should get into Days of Our Lives, and I'll continue my story.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
Ah, so relaxing.
It is.
I better drink some Mountain Dew, though.
It's so relaxing, it lulls me right out.
Okay, so continuing the blueberry story. Mm-hmm. We had purchased these before we got ready to move from Virginia up to New Hampshire. we had purchased these blueberry bushes because, well, blueberries aren't that prevalent down in Virginia. And so we had them, and they were planted, and then we got the word we're moving. And Emery says, I'm taking the blueberry bushes with me. I am not going to be without blueberries, you know. So I said, okay. So we, you know, we bundled them up and we put them in, you know, the little containers. And
yep.
Yeah, we shipped them up with us. They went up with us because, you know, I had a U-Haul trailer. The movers came and went, and we had a U-Haul trailer with some of the stuff we're going to need right away. And right. The blueberry, and of course, anything vegetation wise that we were taking had to go in there. Mm-hmm. So we get them up, and we're protecting them while we live 6 months in a condo, and then finally we bought the house, and the first thing Emery wanted to do was get these things in the ground because, you know, they've been living in pots all this time. So we went down and we planted them, and everything was good. They looked good. And then summer came, the first summer, because we moved in the spring. Summer came, and she was all excited because the blueberries were showing up on these bushes. But then we also noticed that blueberries were showing up just about everywhere you could look on our property. Because blueberries grow wild in New Hampshire, and they're everywhere.
Not to mention, you're a rebel. Were those New Hampshire blueberry plants that you were transplanted from Virginia?
No, they are not. I don't know where they are. They have, they're bigger blueberries, too, than the wild New Hampshire blueberries.
You rebel. You transplanted out-of-state blueberries.
Yes.
I laugh because I couldn't believe, you know, it's illegal to take firewood from New Hampshire and say, give firewood or to someone in Massachusetts if they want to have a bonfire.
Really?
Different species of tree.
You're kidding me.
Nope. And you can't bring firewood from... I often wondered why signs, when you're driving, you know, we drive on a lot of back local roads,
yeah.
Why they said New Hampshire firewood. Everybody puts NH firewood.
Ah.
And it's because there's a law in New Hampshire that it's illegal to buy a tree in Massachusetts that's indicative of New Mass or anywhere else and plant it in New Hampshire.
Huh. I didn't know that. Well, we may or may not have broken the law 18 years ago.
What?
And by the way, those blueberry bushes are still around today and still producing blueberries.
Which means you have a lot of good pancakes at your house for breakfast.
We do. And Anne Marie's been making pretty much anything she bakes has blueberries in it this time of year. Yeah, it's been good. But speaking of summer, it is definitely summertime here. It's summertime.
Big time.
Because, wow, it was a warm one this week.
Yeah, man, we were crushing the 90s, weren't we?
Yeah, air conditioner's on, and, you know, upper 80s or 90s. Mm-hmm. Pretty much most of the time it's been low humidity, but there was a couple days there where the humidity was up.
90%+. Yeah, it was great. Well, it was worse down south towards Mass, but I can say up here it was no. Yeah, totally agree with you. It was incredibly humid for the mountains.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you might hear in the background, of course, my gate cuts it out when I'm not talking, but while I'm talking, you might hear the air conditioner on in the background because, yeah, the QRM Studios is under air conditioning tonight with the windows closed. Although it's been cooling down. The past couple of nights have been kind of warm. But the other nights, now we could still go drop into the 60s or 50s at night.
Yeah.
So, great sleeping weather. You know, it's just during the day.
I commented talking to Debbie about that same thing you had said so many times, you know, we were living in Nashua.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, no, just open up the windows. It's plenty cool at night to sleep. And I'm thinking, what? Well, yeah, now here a year in the mountains, you're right. Even in the hottest, mostly in the hottest of days, at night it still gets down into the 50s.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great sleeping weather. And really, you can get away with if your house happens to be a little warm from baking in the sun all day, you just put a window fan in and blow in the cool breeze. You know?
Yep. As long as the humidity's not super high, yeah, it's great sleeping weather. Otherwise, the AC's on in the bedroom.
Yeah. It's funny because I sit in our family room watching TV and, you know, at night, and it's the breezeway to our house between the house and the garage. And, you know, I actually have to close the windows some nights. It's like I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm freezing to death.
Yeah, that's the same thing. I had a box fan in one of the windows in the living room, and I was sitting here playing a little Tom Clancy's Division one night, and I thought, holy crap, it's cold in here.
Yeah, it's fun. It hasn't been a bad summer, but we do need more rain. We did get some this week, but not enough. We are kind of in a drought right now, and I worry about things like, oh, the well.
Yeah, there's always that concern, and because it was such a light, for the lack of a better word, light snow winter.
Yes.
A warm winter, it threw everything's kind of off a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And it's still the same thing. It's the jet stream has not really moved much all winter and here into the summer. So it's going to move one of these days, and then we're going to be in for it.
You know what's going to move?
Yeah.
January. Huh? Yeah, in January, yeah, we're going to get slammed.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is normally what you're supposed to get here, you know? You just get, everybody else is like, oh, we're getting 6 inches of snow. How much you get? 2 feet.
Yeah. What you don't want directly over you is that leading edge of the jet stream, because that's, you know, all the storms go right up that leading edge of the jet stream. And so if that's stuck over top of you, yeah, if it's summertime, you're going to get rain. If it's wintertime, you're going to get snow and lots of it.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, and I'm probably going to regret it in another, 5 months. Mm-hmm. But I kind of miss snow right now.
Oh, shut up.
I kind of miss the snow.
I don't miss
it. Well, you know what it is? It's because I don't want the damn bugs. I'm so sick of the bugs.
Yeah, yeah. Although they are calming down, even the deer flies are calming down now. But the skeeters were out there.
Yes, and, so, you know, I and again, it just gives me that beautiful, wonderful appreciation for autumn. Cold enough where you can go outside with just a flannel shirt, no bugs, gorgeous weather, stay outside all day.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, I do. Fall's my favorite time of year. The bugs are gone, crispy feeling in the air, and leaves turning colors.
Apple pie baking in the oven.
Apple pie, yes, it's harvesting time, so all the good food's coming in, you know.
We're not foodies.
No, not at all. Not at all. Well, we're going to skip Michael because he's not here, and he's going to have to update us on the MMPR 16, which he went to, and I'm waiting to hear about it. But we'll let him, hopefully he'll get in to tell us about that.
Absolutely. So I guess that means I'm up next, which was, not a lot going on so much. I mean, it was... there's, a fair amount of things, but not like, earth shattering. But one of the things being summer, obviously kids are home from college. Kids are out, on summer vacation from high school. And my son expressed an interest in learning auto mechanics, and subsequently was able to work out with Dr. Kenny. And now my son is working for him part time in the shop. And he absolutely loves twisting wrenches.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. Wow. He's learning tons, and he's having a blast, making some pocket money, which all leads up for that wonderful thing of, cars and all the good stuff teenagers want to buy. And savings. I keep trying to say, save.
Yes. Learn to save.
And he loves it. He comes home filthy dirty every day.
Yeah, but happy, right?
Grinning from ear to ear. Oh, Dad, I worked on this, and I was working on that, and I took a transmission out, and I'm like, wow, you whew, you're flying right in there. I mean, you went from, you know, okay, doing simple stuff, changing tires and this and that. And he goes, yeah, he says, Ken had me taking a transfer case out of a 4x4 today. And I'm like, yeah, that's advancing pretty good.
I would say so. What's a transfer case?
Yeah, that's the thing behind the radio.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty cool. I'm really happy for him. You know, as he had said, this sure, well, in polite terms, this sure to hell is better than, you know, making pizzas for a summer job.
Oh, God, yeah. You know, because it's something different every day, you know?
Yep. Absolutely, it's rewarding. You can see the fruits of your hard work and labor when something comes in and it didn't work, and when it leaves, it did.
Yeah.
So he's loving it.
That is cool. That is very cool. So, well, the only exciting thing that happened to me this week is yesterday, my wife was looking at my pants, my work pants, shall I say, which is consists of a lot of different shades of khaki.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. And she's
bathing
looking at
in a sea of beige.
And she goes, when was the last time you bought pants? And I said, I don't know. What? 5-6 years ago? She goes, I said, yeah, I have noticed that a couple of these are getting kind of thin. She goes, yeah. She goes, you need to buy more pants. I said, I guess I'm going to have to go down to our favorite place.
Our favorite place.
DXL.
Oh, I love that story.
And I said, I got to drive all the way down to Nashua then. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I'll go with you. So I said, all right. So we piled into the car, took the back way down.
Much prettier. Too.
Through all the little towns and, go down, dip into Massachusetts and back up. Because DXL's right over the border. In Nashua. And we get in there, and of course, I compliment the guys again. I said, you know, I got to tell you, there's a lot of places, and I've said this before, there's a lot of places that call themselves big and tall shops. But I said, the majority of them are big or tall.
Yes.
And I said, you are really the only shop I know that is big and tall.
Yes.
And if you don't know what I mean by that, what it means is if you've got a big, if you're big waist-wise, then they assume your legs are short.
Yes.
So inseams are short. And the taller you get, the narrower the waist gets, but the inseams grow. So, you know, as I hate to say this, but I have graduated into a 48x36.
Woo-hoo! Wow, you got promoted.
I got promoted. I'm not happy about that.
Well, I can honestly say, for our friends that have met us, and especially seeing us stand side by side, would know, Barry is, yes, very much so taller than I. However, I'm right there with you. I don't think I'm going to get another 2 inches on the inseam because I'm a 48-34.
Yeah, and actually, there was a pair of pants I bought there, right? And we pulled out, I forget the name of the brand, Harbor something?
Harbor Tool and Freight.
Something like that. But the other pants I normally get, I got them, and it was this, you know, standard 36. So I got 36 out of these other pants, and Anne-Marie goes, you better try them on. This is after I'd tried on like 2 or 3 pairs already of the other kind. I said, nah, it says the same thing. I don't need to try these on. Let's just get them. She goes, go try them on. And so I went in,
right.
I tried them on, and I don't know how they measure 36, but it was literally down, doubled twice on my foot and hanging about 2 inches below the... below my heel.
I'm so
this isn't generous a 36. Huh?
Generous 36 inseam.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but I ended up getting a 34 inseam on from that company.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So they tend to be a little longer than what they say. And I got a couple of shirts, too. And then there was one pair. I was getting a different color, and they didn't have it in my size. So the guy says, oh, we'll just order it. So we ordered it, and so that's coming in the mail. Or that's being delivered. So
they're super helpful there. They're helpful. I mean, you thought you, I don't know. I'm not trying to steal your thunder. It's just every time you walk in, you walk into JC. If you were to walk into Penny's or walk into some other men's clothing store, they look at you and they go, oh, Jesus, here we go. The circus must be in town because you see the size and they're like, they're not going to have hardly, maybe socks that'll fit. I'm like, well, what size shoe do you have, sir? 14. Nope, we don't have anything that goes like that. But but there at DXL, they really is, hello, sir, how are you? You don't feel like an oddity.
Yeah.
You just feel like normal. Now, granted, the guy that's helping you, it comes up to your navel. Maybe mid-chest height.
That's true.
And I noticed another thing, because even the way they store the planogram for the store, mm-hmm. Did you notice that the racks are wider than they are at other stores, so you can fit through them when you're walking around the rack? I'm like, they really thought this through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, big guys are going to be walking around in this store, and, you know, one of those things when you know, put on a suit jacket, and I told that story a million times many shows ago, but, you know, when you're walking around, you get a 65-inch chest cavity, my shoulders are pretty effing wide, and I don't fit between the damn racks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not without knocking stuff off when you go past them.
And the other thing, in the center, they've got kind of like this big thing, and kind of in the center goes ceiling to floor. And I was looking at shirts, and the shirts I was interested in, well, you know, most stores you go to, they just, you know, they're all one level, but they put these shirts, you know, they have two racks on top of each other. And so, now I got to admit, because these shirts are for tall people, too. So they're XLTs or 2XLTs or, you know, whatever. So it's up a little higher. And I had to admit, I had to go get the little giant stepper to go up to see what size is on. I said, look, I'm tall.
Yeah.
But I can't see what the size is of these shirts.
Seven and a half feet up in the air is where the tag is. And the funny thing is when Debbie took me there and she bought me some shirts. A little while ago, and the gentleman helping us, I mean, he was a really nice gentleman, and he said, Debbie's like, I like that shirt. You ought to try that one on. I'm like, okay. And he must have grabbed the pole. It looked like it was a gaff for shark fishing. That's how long it was for him to unhook it and bring it all the way down. Because the tails on our shirts are, in some instances, I'd go so far as to say they're 10 inches to a foot longer than the tails on other people's shirts.
Yeah.
Because they're talls, and, you know, the idea behind, so, you know, it's funny, but you're right. I'm looking up there, and I'm like, the ceilings in this store have to be about 10 feet, and that top bar has to be at least 7.5 feet up there, because I can't see the tags.
Yeah. Now, I could reach up and, you know, pull the hanger off the hook to bring it down to look at it. I said, I'm not doing this for every frickin' one. I said, you
know? You're taller than me. I couldn't reach the hanger to unhook the shirt. So I said, let's get out the fishing gaff.
Yeah.
But, it's a great, great, classy store.
Now the guy who was helping us out, I'm going to take for granted that he's a Giants fan. Because I was getting a little nervous because the news had just come out that Tom Brady isn't going to fight his thing anymore. The
4-game suspension,
Deflategate. Yeah, that he's going to stop. And Emery was talking about that, and this guy was saying, well, he shouldn't because he's guilty. And they started to go back and forth on this, and I'm like, Emery, do you realize this is the only place I can buy clothes?
Yeah.
We don't want to piss the store off.
I'm going to get banned here. This is where I buy my underwear.
But they were going back and forth about it a little bit. It was kind of funny, and I was trying to be peacekeeper. Well, yes, okay, but we're here to buy clothes. I'm here to buy clothes. So, yep. So I got. Let's see. I bought 4 pairs of pants, and the 5th pair coming. And excuse me, did I buy? And two, no, I bought 3 pairs of pants with a 4th pair coming in 2 shirts. And I got out of there with about $275.
That's the one thing with the, as I jokingly was saying with my son, big boy clothes cost more.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it's funny. You know, you can catch a sale at Penny's or Macy's or what have you, but. You know, oh, look, I got this casual bowling shirt, and I was able to get it for $50 or $30 or $35 on sale. Yeah, all my shirts coming out of there. I mean, I can catch a sale, and I always look for the sales, but when you look at the regular retail tags, you're like, this fucking shirt's $102.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I was looking for, I always wear the pullover, the golf shirts is what we call. Okay, and I really like the wicking kind. So I said, do you have any of those? And they had them, and actually I didn't like kind of what they had, but I was looking at it, and I said, you know, it is getting out of season. Even though it's July, it's out of season for those clothes.
Right.
Because, you know, they're getting their fall stuff in now.
Fall stuff
in. Yeah, right. And so I'm looking at them, and then I flipped over and I looked at the price, and it was like $75 for a freaking shirt.
Shirt, and you're like,
getting these. Yeah. I love these, but Anne Marie comes up and she goes, JCPenney, big and tall, they have these, and they're a lot cheaper. I said, okay. The Reebok ones were cheaper, but they had Reebok on the sleeve, and I said, and I wear these to work, and the last thing I want to do is have Reebok or some name brand on my sleeve all the time, you know.
So. Yeah, you and I on the same sheet of music there. I love bowling shirts.
Mm-hmm.
I love bowling shirts made out of silk. You remember the shirts Charlie Sheen used to wear in 2 1/2 Men?
Yep.
Freaking love those. And my wife, she says, I like it when you wear those. Every once in a while, they get them, and you're like, holy crap, this shirt's $87.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you think, that's a lot of freaking money for a shirt. I'd buy a radial tire, not a shirt. You know what I mean? And I'm going to, but yeah, I hear what you're saying. So you got to really shop around.
Yeah.
And geez, your wife is 1,000% right. JCPenney, big and tall, does have a pretty decent selection for shirts.
Yeah, so we're gonna stop. They have one of those in Keene, so it's not too far to go.
Whoa! Back up the truck, sir. I didn't get the plate. Where is one of those in Keene?
You know where the market basket is? On West Street, I think it is.
Yeah.
Okay, it's in there. It's in that shopping center.
There's a Penny's there?
Yeah, in the right. Back right corner.
Have a big and tall section.
Yes, they do.
I think I have to go to Penny's.
There you go. It's not a large section, but they have a big and tall section there.
No kidding.
Yeah, because that's where I got my running shirts and stuff.
Oh, wow. Actually, thanks for the 411.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, whenever it's just you and I, we always... Well, it just so happens I went to DXL this week, but we always talk about being... Big. it's just a coincidence this week, folks. It's just a coincidence.
But I will say this much: you don't realize. Other folks may not. I don't know, but how easy it is to take for granted to be able to walk in and see any department store and find something that you're going to like that'll fit.
Yeah.
Well, when you can't and do that, you know, for whatever reason, you know, just genetics.
Yeah.
It's really nice when you can go into a place and go, wow, you guys got stuff that's actually too big for me to wear. That's pretty rare.
And I almost walked out, except for it was $50. I mean, I'll wait for it. I almost walked out right next to the door on the way out. They had one of those folding chairs, you know, the canvas type.
Yes.
Yeah, for, you know.
400-pound weight capacity,
for big and tall men.
A little wider and a lot stronger rivets.
Yeah.
It's rated to 400 pounds, and you're like, I don't have to worry about collapsing it when I'm sitting outside.
Yeah. Yeah. So I almost walked out with that, but I don't know. I may have to go back.
That will happen.
Yeah.
Will happen. I bought mine from there.
You did? Oh, that's right. You did.
My green Coleman actually came from there, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
So it's cool. Well, great. Now I want waffles and I want to go clothes shopping.
I'm good. It was July. It's a little early for school clothes, because I remember, when I was a kid, and you come August, the end of August or so, it was always mom would gather you up. Come on, we're going shopping for school clothes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what kind of it felt like. But
what was I going to say? This goes along with my next topic, but. Basically, throughout the course, just before the 4th of July holiday,
mm-hmm.
I was at work, and, well, I blew my back out.
Ouch.
Yeah, and it was, it got my undivided attention, but when I went to go see, get it checked out by the doc and everything, as a matter of fact, I had one of my DXL shirts on that my beautiful bride bought for me, and I got a compliment from the doctor. She's like, wow, I really like that shirt. Thanks. My wife bought it for me at DXL in Nashua, New Hampshire. It sounded like a commercial for him. But that's realistically, aside from that's my big days of our lives thing that I got going on is, it hurts. It sucks dealing with it, addressing it. But it certainly does. I won't be doing a dancing to the Gangnam Style anytime soon. I can tell you that.
Yeah, that's going to put a little hamper on the house updates too. Probably.
It brings it to a screeching halt. Hmm. Which is kind of disappointing because I got this list. I want to do this and do that, and do this and do that. And you're like, yeah, that's there's no way in hell that's going to happen.
Hmm.
And so it's, you know what? You just put it on the back burner.
Yeah.
Put it on the back burner, get better first.
Yeah, you definitely got to. Backs take a while to heal, though, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Thank God for Crown and Coke.
But you got more doctor's appointments about it, and you're going to see how things go, right?
We'll see what unravels as far as what the doctors are going to come up with a way to make sure that I can get back to 100%.
Do we need to somehow create a device where we can... Well, I do have a mic stand that we could put it across and put it over your face as you're lying down.
I believe I'll tough it out one way or the other. But then again, I may not even be, quite honestly, be able to speak proper English. Not that I ever really could, because, with the pain meds that they give you, it's... I might find myself in a perky, perky, perky.
I don't have it.
The bumper's not there.
You know what? It's funny because I said, I got to get the rest of these old bumpers transferred over. So I was doing that. I was recording them over again to get them out of the old program I was using, because for some reason it won't let, once it gets consumed, the audio gets consumed into soundboard, it doesn't give it out again. You can't export it out. So
really?
So I got to sit there and play them and do audio hijack and play them and re-record them.
That's majorly inconvenient.
So I did that, but I haven't, now I got to get into Audition and divvy them up and put them in the new audio board here. So, and that was one of them. I was playing it yesterday, actually. Last night, I was playing it. I'm perky, perky, perky. I said, man, do I miss that one.
Well, if your timing is right, and my timing is off, you may just get another opportunity for another re-record. in the not-so-distant future.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping for the best for you, but...
Thanks,
that
brother.
Sucks.
Yeah, it does. It is what it is. Here again, that's what Dr. Dave hates the saying, but it's the truth. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You just you know, you have to play the cards that you're dealt.
Yep. Yep. That's what happens. So let's go into our next group. And it's broken news. And now, live from the QRM newsroom in beautiful west part of Jaffrey, near Jaffrey Center, in the woods, this is Broken News. And in the past 2 weeks, a lot of shit happened.
Yeah, a lot of horrible, sad crap is just going on around the world, man. I tell you what, it gets to the point where you sit there and just go, wow, is this thing coming off the rails?
Yeah, yeah. And the first horrible, sad thing that happened was that the FBI reported that, even though Hillary didn't do a good thing about her emails with the classified stuff and everything, we don't see anything here that we could actually prosecute or could be prosecuted. And I'm saying, well, first of all, the FBI doesn't prosecute people. That's the Attorney General and that group that does that. So you're supposed to just investigate. And you investigated. And all I can say is to the average person out there, whether you're for Hillary or against Hillary, you probably say, I don't understand all this stuff. Yeah, that's fine. Now, the FBI went over it and everything, and everything's okay. Well, I will tell you that in the world of which I live, I deal with this stuff on a daily basis. And I'm not going to go much further than that. But and I think I've mentioned this before, but where I work and what we do, we look at this as a slap in the face. Because if we had done anything that she was reported in doing and actually verified by the FBI, we'd either be already in jail or we'd be in a jail cell waiting for trial. Because it is specific. If you get a clearance, you get taught about this stuff. You get taught what's classified, what's not classified. You get taught that if something comes in and it's not marked, but it looks classified to you, it's your responsibility to classify that puppy, you know? And I just, you know, as I sit there,
the rules only apply for the working schmo.
Well, that's what it basically, that's what was basically said. And even though the FBI, he even said, and I, you know, the head of the FBI, he sounded like he said this stuff, but he kind of said it in duress because he was saying things that, like, yes, she did wrong things, but there's nothing we can do because it'll never get through court. And not because it's not illegal, but because, well, you know, it's the way it is, and she's who she is, and, you know, oh, sure, you other guys, if you dare try to do this, we're going to take you to court, and you're going to end up with fines and some jail time, but her, yeah, we can't, no.
Double standard.
Yes.
She's got somebody by the short and then
curtains. Other people will say, well, other Secretary of States did this before her and things, and I'll say, well, fine, if that's what happened, then go after them, too. I don't care what party they're from. I don't care who they represent. If they mishandled classified information, then they should face what all of us little guys face. You know? But it won't happen. We all know that.
Nope.
It won't happen. And now, you know, the political parts of get this part and they say, well, she was cleared by the FBI and the Attorney General's not going to do anything. Yeah, well, you know, the Attorney General met with Bill Clinton on the parking lot. Oh, they were talking about their grandkids and stuff. Yeah, okay. I got a bridge to sell you in New York, too.
I'm quite sure the words, make this go away.
Yeah, yeah.
Was said.
Yeah, so yet another mysterious thing that happens to Clintons and they're not held to the same rules as the rest of us. So that was that news. And then, of course, there was the police shootings that occurred. And first, what happened was, of course, policemen were shooting black people for, you know... Yeah, again, I wasn't there, so I don't know what happened. You saw the videos. More stuff has come out afterwards about that, but of course that stirred up the Black Lives Matter people, probably rightly so. I don't know, and of course there was a large protest going on in Dallas, and a wacko got out there and shot five policemen dead. And injured several more, I think, and so that was a terrible thing. And these policemen were out there trying to protect the protesters of yeah. Black Lives Matter. So I don't know what the solution to this is, but we got to come together. There is going to be some profiling done, because let's face it, that's what needs to be done. If you got to narrow down searches. Whether it's being done for racial reasons or whether it's being done based on facts that, you know, okay, there's a suspect and he's out, he just robbed a bank or something, and they describe the person and you pull somebody over that matches that description. I don't know. But I feel sympathy, because I don't know what it's like to live... I think Michaels had joined us. I hear the Foley work going on.
Don't you the Foley effects?
Yeah, the Foley effects.
I heard the walk from Saskatchewan.
Yeah. I'm just into Studio V now.
Okay.
It's 8 o'clock somewhere in the world, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Have a seat. We just started Broken News. We'll get back to you. Settle down.
All right.
Get set
up. I'll get on the main computer here, okay. So you'll hear me switch over again.
All right. So, again, with my white privilege, thank you for that information. Now, what do I do with it? Because that's how people treat me. It's not how I treat other people. So I don't know what, when people yell at you and say, you've got white privilege. Okay. Well, what do you want me to do? I'm sorry. That's how people treat me. Okay. You got to talk to them. They're the ones that got the problem if you think they're giving me preferential treatment. Because, you know.
I'm not asking for it.
I'm not asking for it. It's just the way it is. What was I going to say? I got lost. Oh, and so I don't know what it's like on a daily basis to be a black person and potentially being constantly harassed by the police. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I think it does happen. But then again, I look at the police, and they put their lives on the line every day. They don't know what they're stepping into. Lately, there's been a lot of shootings and fighting and people not properly talking to the police. You know, that's one thing. If you don't argue with the police officer or anything, there's a good chance that just do exactly what he says and things should go smoothly, you know. But, yeah, there's got to be something that has to happen here. Somehow we got to get together. There was one thing I had heard, and I get very nervous about this.
Yeah?
That... apparently, they don't think local police forces can handle this, and they don't think they know how to not be racial or do things without, you know, being racist. So there's been talk by a certain presidential candidate who emailed. Had an email problem. She was talking about something about the federal government controlling the police more, having more say, and maybe even having a federal police force.
Sounds a little Orwellian to me.
You know, when I hear something about having a federal police force, yeah, that scares me a lot. And I, you know, I'm sorry, but we don't need a federal police force.
Oh, well, it works in Russia.
What's that?
I said, look how well it works in Russia.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're silencing a little bit, so I have a feeling we're going to be cutting video. Let me turn my
video
off.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
You're good now.
Read loud and clear, 5x5.
Okay.
QSL.
QSL. You're 5'9". Is your video still running?
Pictures. Okay, so yeah.
Because your picture's frozen. Picture I'm going to turn off mine, too. We'll save the bandwidth.
Okay. There we go. So, anyway, my comment was, look how well the federal police force has worked in Russia.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a model.
Yeah. So we'll see. We don't know what's going on. I don't know how to solve the problem. I think police in the neighborhood should get together. Maybe a little less violence. Maybe a little more talking. Maybe even have some ride-alongs with the police so they can see what the police deal with. That always helps.
It's definitely a difficult hurt a problem to try and solve.
Yeah,
and it won't happen overnight.
Right, and I don't know what to say. other than it is what it is, and I don't know how to. I'm just telling you the way I'm looking at it, and something's got to be worked on. I don't think a federal police force is going to be the answer, nor do I think that would solve the problem. Uh-huh. So, that's it. So, and then we move right into the Nice attacks that occurred the other night. Wow. And where a guy during Bastille Day celebrations drove a huge truck through the crowds, killing at least 80 people. There might have been more now. I'm not sure. I haven't seen the latest update. The question I have that nobody has seemed to ask about this story is, was the truck manual, automatic, or semi-automatic? Just the question I want to know.
I'm not touching that one, Bob.
Because, is it the device on which people use to kill people, or is it the person who's doing the killing? Is it what's going through their mind? Because, and there were guns, too. And apparently he was shooting out of the truck at the end when he stopped. But again, this happened in France, where there is extremely tight gun control. Matter of fact, I don't know whether French people can own guns. I'm not sure. I don't know what their gun laws are, except I've heard they got some of the strictest gun control laws in the country. And this is like two attacks now. So
wow.
And the French better start waking up about this too. What's going on in that country? And maybe other countries need to watch it too. there seems to be a certain group that is out to cause harm and damage to other people.
Huh?
And it's kind of plain and simple to see, but we can't do that because otherwise, we're racist or we're whatever, xenophobes or we're whatever. But so far, just saying. Okay.
Just saying.
Okay. If I haven't thought this all out right, maybe I haven't, but I know what makes me nervous and what doesn't. And, where I pay extra special attention until I know things are safe and not. But that's just me and human nature. So, and the other, anybody else have any comments on?
Nope.
Okay. I've said it all, right?
You have put it all together so eloquently.
For me. And then the other thing that just happened, was it last night? The night before? No, it was last night, I think. There was a coup attempt in Turkey.
Oh, well, yeah, I'd heard about that.
Yeah, and it was very weird because it seemed like the military took over. Of course, the president was out of country. It seemed they took over, but then all of a sudden, it wasn't. And I haven't heard any information about what exactly went on. How did the military get toppled after the coup? Was it people actually rushing out into the streets that were supporters of the president and overrushed the military? Or was it the rest of the military that wasn't taking part in it? I don't know. There hasn't been a lot of information yet so far about this.
It was the accountants that cut their budget.
Damn, we're out of money.
Sorry. Shouldn't make light of that, but yeah.
No more money for
you. Stop this coup or no paycheck for you.
Whoa. You put it that way. All right, yeah. We're all done.
My wife was looking at it. She goes, it's almost like this thing was made up. Mm-hmm. You know, although there was 160 people apparently got killed during it. But she goes, it almost is like somebody planned this thing to make some kind of statement, and I guess nobody's getting it right now. I don't know. I guess more information will come out as the days go by. But and apparently they're saying that the person who planned this coup is from Pennsylvania. Some cleric in Pennsylvania. that's who the president of Turkey is saying, and they want him extradited from the U.S. back to face trial in Turkey. So now because Turkey's part of NATO, and you know they're one of our allies. We have an air base over there that actually we're fighting ISIS from that air base, and right now everything's grounded because of what's going on. So more to come on that story. But of course, all those stories and broken news were important, yes. But the big story this past week was Pokemon Go was released into the wild. And there is Pokemon madness all over the country, all over the world, slowly spreading across the world because they're releasing it slowly but surely. I heard they released it in Europe today and all the servers went down. So,
yeah, they did.
So
couldn't log on for 2 hours today.
Oh. So you're...
Yes, I am Team Mystic Blue.
Oh, so you already...
I have 10 points away from level 6.
Okay, I made it to level 4. I haven't been playing a lot, but it's one you definitely can't play while moving in a car. Because, you know, you know how you can hack portals in Ingress in a car? You know, because, you know, you can do that from memory muscle. You know, as you get close, you just hit the button and it hacks and stuff. Well, here, you get up to whatever their I know nothing about Pokemon. I mean, I'm way too old when it came out and didn't have kids that went through the Pokemon thing. So I know nothing about this at all. So, you go up to these things to get, you know, like... I'm going to call it a portal. I don't know what they call it. But and then you can hack for things.
Pokestop,
okay. And you can hack for things, but you gotta click on it, and then it brings up a picture, and then you got to swipe the picture so it spins, and then it shoots out a bunch of Pokeballs and things like that, and then you got to sit there and tap on each one to collect them. And I said, I can't drive and do this.
You're supposed to drive and do this.
Well, I don't walk around a lot.
I think by personal experience, I really haven't played that much because, first of all, I mean, I think I've picked up maybe 2 Pokemon in the wild in Copper Harbor. but when we go to town, cripe. I mean, the Holiday Station, I picked up 7 in the parking lot right next to the pumps.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In populated areas, they're all over the place. But if you're moving, I think if you're doing any more than 5 miles an hour, the radar doesn't even pick them up. As soon as you stop and start walking around, all of a sudden they're showing up everywhere.
Well, they do pop up on the thing. Well, first of all, it's fun to watch.
I have had a couple jump into the car while we were driving. That was a little distracting.
And it's fun because as you watch it and you watch the screen as you're walking around, the guy's walking on the screen is walking, you know, wherever you're going on the map and stuff like that. And, but if you get in the car and you drive and you get up to like 35 miles an hour, the guy is running his ass off down the road. And I said, wow, this guy's running.
But he does
running.
Run. It's funny.
Yeah.
You get around 30, 40 miles an hour, he runs and skips and runs and skips and runs and skips. And you get up to 55, he's just at a full trot.
Unbelievable. So I had a doctor's appointment on Thursday, so I was down at the Cheshire Medical Center, the hospital there. And so I decided, okay, I'll start it up. And I went in, and by the time I walked inside the hospital, I went from level 1 to level 4.
Huh.
Just walking around the hospital and picking up all these funny-looking creatures. And people are probably wondering what the hell I'm doing, because it's a lot harder to play than Ingress. And I haven't even... Well, I can't. I'm still at level 4, so I can't go in and battle at the gyms or anything. So, nor do I think I want to. I'm just trying this out. I don't find it my cup of tea. If I were going to play a game, I'd probably stick with Ingress.
Right.
Although I'm not even playing that. So I just needed to give this a try, see what it was about. Apparently, you know, it's funny when you drive through Jaffrey, of course, I know where all the portals are. Oh, and that's the other thing with Pokemon. All these stops and the gyms are based on Ingress portals because Niantic yep. did both games. So,
right.
So all these different stops and the gyms are, so I know where all the Ingress portals are, and I'm going through town, and I'm sitting there, you know, in the looking at the common. I was at the light and looking at the common where I know there's like three portals right there, and all these kids are sitting on the wall. They have the little wall there. They're sitting on the wall, and they're all staring at their phones and tapping buttons and stuff. I said, "Yeah, I know what they're doing. They're not playing Ingress. They're playing." Pokemon, because there's a gym there. I popped open the thing, and there's a gym right there. So yeah, I guess it's a good thing in a way that's getting people out walking around more so than Ingress, because there's a lot of people out there that know Pokemon, and so they instantly tried it, where Ingress was something new. People had to be basically introduced to it.
Yep.
Where this was instant notoriety. Now, there have been a few things that have been interesting about Pokemon Go. There's a thing you can do is you can put lures out, and supposedly that brings in the creatures. So that yep. they'll start popping up. But what also happens is you'll see other Pokemon players starting to gather around, too, because, well, that's where all the creatures are. And so some brilliant guy, I think this happened in Australia, started putting out lures at night, and people started coming around, and then they held them up and robbed them.
Jeez Louise.
I'm like, boy, that didn't take long for somebody to come up with that clever idea.
Nope. Not long at all.
Yeah, so, and then I think at least two dead bodies have been found so far by Pokemon Go players. One in Nashua. Somebody yep. found a dead body in the river in Nashua. That was, glad you moved out of there, Joel.
Yeah, you know, wow. Just wow.
So, yeah, and then there's stupid things like, you know, people in cars trying to play or decide they need to stop in the middle of a freeway to try to get a Pokemon creature that popped up and causing accidents behind them. Yeah, people, it warns you. Be careful of your surroundings. Know where you are. You know.
Don't. The two Pokestops in the Holocaust Museum, that was class.
Yeah, I think they got rid of those.
I sure hope so.
Yeah, so I'm sure there's more. There'll be more like that, you know, different things. But the creatures are kind of cute. I don't know anything about them, and supposedly you can, you know, make them grow, and you can get eggs and you can incubate eggs, but the only way your incubator works is if you actually walk around. So they're forcing you to. So it's still a very communal game. Basically, if you really want to play it, you got to play with other people. I don't think you can lone wolf it that much if you want to play the game. And of course, if you're out at 3 o'clock in the morning, you've got to be careful. Some police are used to Ingress players out there playing, but all of a sudden now, 3 o'clock in the morning, there's people in a park and they're staring at their phones or they're doing stuff, and police are stopping and saying, "What are you doing? You know, you got to be careful. Let the cops know what you're doing. They'll get used to it eventually." But yeah. So, Pokemon, yes.
Yeah, I'll jump in for a second because both my boys were into Pokemon and Digimon when they were kids. And I'm sure there are still in some of those back pockets behind the driver's and passenger seat. There's got to be trading cards still in those seat covers. And just recently, they had these little handheld Pokemon and Digimon games that they used to use while we were traveling. They were still in those pockets that I finally took out. the batteries had long since self-destructed, and the acid had gone through with, like, Mission Impossible, and the whole thing probably went up in smoke.
Yeah.
But both boys were right on the game as soon as it came out. I wasn't even aware that it had been released until I got back from MMPR. And I'm like, "Oh, really? Okay, cool. All right, let me download this thing and figure out, there's no instructions? Really?"
No. There wasn't any training like you'd go through with Ingress or anything.
No, I got some basics from the boys, and then listening to This Week in Tech last week, I think it was, or maybe it was Mac Break Weekly, but iMore.com, I think it is. Anyhow, they've done a series of 15 articles on how to play the game, and they're all short articles, and what's the goals? What's the basic rules? And they just basically took everybody in the company and said, "Go out and play. Write something about it." And they did a good job.
Oh, very good.
That's my recommendation. If you want to know what the game's about and tinker with it a little bit, which is really all I'm doing. I did a lot of bopping back and forth to town in the last couple of days, and Chris has been driving, so I've been sitting in the passenger seat and like, "Let's try this." And at one point, just happened that, I don't know how it happened, but one of the Pokemon jumped into the truck, and I'm like, "Whoa!" I'm holding the iPhone and swiveling around, because once you acquire one of these things, it stays the same magnetic reading from you no matter which way you're turning. So as the truck's turning, the Pokemon's swinging through the vehicle and outside and around. So you're swinging around with his iPhone, and it's got to look really great to traffic around you. You got somebody just wildly moving around inside the car, and you're trying to flip these Pokeballs out at this thing to catch it, and hopefully it'll stay in. Otherwise, sometimes they escape, and you got to try it again.
Yeah, yeah.
But basically, it just looks like the passenger's having an epileptic fit. And I'm sure that's a bad joke somewhere, and somebody's offended, and I'm sorry. But that's what it looks like.
Yeah, I noticed as I was up into level 4 now, before it was real easy, there's a Pokemon, I just flick a ball at it and it would catch it and everything. And when I got up to level 4, it started getting harder. I was using 2 or 3 balls and I was trying to figure out, okay, where's the exact place I flick the ball so it'll suck up the little, especially the little birdie ones.
Because sometimes they're annoying.
Yeah, they hop and fly and stuff like that, so. Yeah. We'll see. I don't have enough time to play this game, but I just need to try it out, see what it was all about, so I could complain about it.
I think it's cool because both my sons are playing it, so that automatically has me roped in to some extent.
Yeah, yeah.
And it probably irks them a little bit that I'm a higher level than both of them right now.
That's funny. Have you gone to a gym? Have you played in a gym? Because I know nothing about the.
I went once at a gym and I got totally annihilated. So I've backed off and I'm regrouping, learning how to do it a little bit better. Because I went in a gym and I just got totally embarrassed.
Yeah. Well, I guess a lot of people will be doing that, and there'll be a lot of pimply faced kids laughing at you, standing at the gym.
In the meantime, I'm still trying to acquire level 11 on Ingress, a little bit at a time, but nobody's playing around here, so all of a sudden it's getting, you know, not harder. The Copper Harbor is still the blue haven of resistance that it's always been.
Yeah.
And I'm still playing Clash of Clans. I now have a level 11 town hall.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, they've since upgraded the game, so you can now turn it to 11, man. And I've got three crossbows and a couple of inferno towers. But basically, I'm at the level now. You know, I do something, and then I come back 3 weeks later when it's done. So their main philosophy still hasn't changed. The better you get, the more boring it gets because you do something and then you just wait for 14 days or more.
Jeez.
I started the level 11 town hall and like, well, let's see here. That ought to be done by July. And I'm not kidding either. It didn't finish. The level 11 hall didn't finish up until after I got back from MMPR. And I started it back in June.
Yeah. I stopped playing that because it kept getting longer and longer. And actually, I forgot about the game because it was taking so long. So anyway, well, let's go back to broken news because Michael, we are not broken news. I'm sorry. Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, no, I'm not sorry. It's family. Yeah. Stuff's happening here, man. Yep. So it's life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, the most important point I've got probably from actually, I only got one thing in. No, I had two. All right. They're both important. First of all, a big shout out to Dr. Dave and Isabel and John. They took me into their home. It was ironic. I try to be on time, but it's really hard on a trip like this to, you know, show up relatively on time. Mm-hmm. But he's like, yeah, I'll be there by 5:30. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to do begging on it. And I'm going to have fuel stops, any potty breaks, average speed of a European or is it an African Jeep? let's see. Yeah, and I had never taken a long trip in David's Jeep before, yeah. So I didn't know what it could do, which is basically 59 miles an hour on the highway. That's where it's happy. Mm-hmm. But it's really happy at 59, and it's getting 30-plus miles to the gallon. For a Jeep Wrangler, that's incredible.
That's incredible.
I could have actually made the entire trip to Sault Ste. Marie in one tank of gas.
Wow.
I couldn't have made it on no bathroom breaks, but I could have made it on one tank of gas. This is also the only time I have crossed the international bridge at something close to rush hour, which was a whole different experience.
Really?
So I was actually starting to worry I was going to be late for dinner because of that, because I wound up sticking there for a while. Hmm. But I did wind up pulling right into Dr. Dave's driveway at 5:28.
Nice.
Perfect. Punctual. Thanks to David's Jeep. And man, oh man, did he have a meal planned out. Oh my gosh. Steak. Grilled out on this really incredible gas Weber. Really, really nice gas Weber. And crab cake appetizers and grilled vegetables. And you know, I don't know if you ever listened to Broken Area Podcast, but he's definitely, you can hear him gourmet in the background.
Yeah.
Makes my kitchen Foley effects just, you know, sound amateur in comparison. And I came, of course, I had to come bearing Copper Harbor fudge and Brickside Brewery beer.
Excellent.
Had it, you know, absolute great evening. Got to meet Jonathan.
Nice.
Isabel and I played ukulele by the bonfire in the backyard. And
oh, cool.
It's just a really pleasant evening. Then Dr. Dave and I got up in the morning for a reasonable hour flight on the acclaimed Porter Airlines, and boy, they're like the Midwest Express of old. I don't know if either one of you have played flown the old Midwest Express, but it was an incredible airline. Porter is there and above, except for, you know, they're not baking the cookies on board yet, but there is free alcohol, so I mean, they got that going for them.
Wow.
Yeah, they basically bought the city airport, which is on an island right off of Toronto.
Oh,
so
really?
I think it was like $142 US tax included round trip for this thing. It was a no-brainer.
How long was the flight?
Dave and I flew about an hour and 15 minutes, something like that.
That's good.
flew into Toronto. We met up with Dave and all of a sudden realized as we were waiting for our bus in Toronto that, wait a minute, Dave and Bob are here. We have an MMPRX.
Yeah.
So we announced that MMPRX is in Toronto right now. And where's everybody? Then we caught the GO train to Hamilton and joined up with the rest of the group. And on the return trip, again, I did an episode about that, but you can tune into that on a podcast that shall not be named. Mm-hmm. I had visions of never being welcomed to their house again after that. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that was a good story. Let's not spoil it here.
No, I'm not going to.
Yeah, it was a great
episode. 246, I believe it was. Yeah. It's called, well, you look at it. Yeah. But again, came back. Got to spend some time talking to Jonathan, and we had order out pizza when he got back, and had a nice visit in the morning, and then off I went because I had to get home and get back to work. But yeah, incredible weekend. And part two of that, other than MMPR was great. Anthony, as usual, just planned things. You know, they were expecting, and it was a busy weekend. Not as busy as it was when we were there last year with all the games going on.
Right.
But the air conditioning did work in the room.
Really? I'll
say that. Matter of fact, it was every time the cleaning crew came in, they turned it down to like 55. You come in there like, oh my God. Yeah, turned it back up again.
Maybe they had too many complaints last year.
Yeah, apparently. But there was no issues with the cooling this year, and it was hot there. It was that, especially the first day, it was really hot when we got there, hot and humid.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you followed along with that, but what I wound up doing was giving up my room to Candace because she came at the last minute, and I just thought it would be prudent that she have room to herself. Mm-hmm. So I gave up my room, moved over to Jason's room, and I think a good time was had by everybody. Miss Doug. Doug wasn't there because his brother had his 50th birthday.
Yeah.
So we were all, you know, looking to him in thought and everybody else who couldn't be there. But the other problem, and I covered this in the episode of Bad Coffee, but I think I can talk about it here, is that Bob and I, being the ham radio representatives in the group, flew in. Nice. Not drove in.
Oh, yeah.
Automatically, first of all, ruled out boat anchors. But then we also thought, wait a minute, you know, Milton's a 45-minute drive away. So Bob looked it up, and it was a $160 cab fare round trip. That was out.
They don't do Uber?
And, well, we actually thought about it. I don't think it would have been much better. Yeah. And being a ham fest, they might have charged, you know, premium. You never know with Uber. Yeah. But there were a number of rental car places, so Bob said, well, no problem. I'll get up in the morning, and you know, as soon as they open up, we'll start calling around and find a car. I think it took him 5 car rental places before he found what he called the only car in the province of Ontario that was available to rent. And it was going to be $60 for the day, which we were only going to use 4 hours of. Mm-hmm. But
it's like, still cheaper than $160.
Oh, yeah, and spend time with Bob and catch up on things and just go to a ham fest just to keep our ham radio creds up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we'll split that, you know, $30 a piece Canadian, you know, U.S., it's like, what, $4.95? Yeah. Not quite, but...
they probably still owe you money. So,
yeah. So, yeah, so Bob rented the car and went to the ham fest, and Bob won a door prize, got $20 back.
Nice.
Cool. I bought 2 end connectors, so I think all total they cost me about $30 U.S. a piece. But it was worth it. It was worth it to go there.
And
we also figured...
Oh, you mean with the... Yes. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Yeah, because now the black fly season is over. I plan on climbing the tower. But Bob was looking for some stuff, and we both saw some pretty good deals that we probably would have jumped on, because I actually brought money with me this time that they would accept. I actually brought Canadian funds with me. had a great time, great visit. But we also realized that... With Bob there, it was back to an MMPRX in Hamilton, so we figured we should get back.
Right.
And they'd actually started the live recording sessions before we returned. But yeah, it was a great time.
Great time. Glad everything, and you did it. You did, the one that you recorded at the session, you did an podcast that shall not be named.
Shall not be named, yes.
At live?
Yes.
Are you waiting to get that back? Have you put that out? I don't remember hearing that one.
No, that's by... you remember what I talked about in episode 244? About the executive producer reviewing?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So basically, if you want to hear that episode, contact me, virtualuper@gmail.com.
Okay.
That's not going in the feed.
Okay.
So I'm sorry. It's really personal. This time I will say I'm sorry. It is very personal. If you want to hear it, send me an email. I will not be sending it to everybody. I will apologize in advance, but it does cover subjects that involve more than just me. So, but yes, I did record that live. It is available on request, and I have received numerous requests for it, and they've gone out. One other thing I did want to mention about this whole thing, and as we came into Toronto and the bus station, there's a shuttle before you either take the ferry or the tunnel over to, because the Porter Airport is actually on an island, but came into the bus shuttle area, which is owned by Porter Airlines as well. And Dr. Dave goes, you got to look at this. It's very typically Canadian. And I'm like, okay. He points over to the bus next to us, and there's the bus with this big sign on the side that says, out of service. And then it fades out, and what comes up is, sorry.
That's classic.
And they're like, yep, that's Canadian.
Oh, that's funny. That is classic. Jeez.
So I came back, everybody looked at me and said, yeah, you got more of a step in your, you know, in your walk, and you're looking pretty good. And I said, yep, this is kind of like deer camp for me without the guns. Just mic drop here, mic drop there. But
yeah.
Too funny.
That's wow. Funny. That's cool. That's, yeah. You know, they've had, since we were last on, I think, actually. No, I guess it happened beforehand. Sorry. We didn't talk about Field Day. That's a big amateur radio event that happens every year where you go out, you're supposed to go out and run on emergency power, be outside, outdoor, set up someplace and try to get as many, QSOs as you can. And, I always want to do that sometime. I mean, I'd like to do it with like you guys, you know, it'd be fun to just go out with two or three people and do it instead of with the big organization, everything. I'm sure the big organization would be fun to do too, but I think it would be fun just to go up like to the top of a mountain or even like here in New Hampshire, go up on Temple Mountain or Pac Monadnock or something where we can drive up, you know.
It is fun. Yeah. And there's a couple of events Field Day is the granddaddy of all of them. But there's a couple of them that you can do that are also in that same category. One's Lighthouses on the Air.
Yeah.
That's another fun one. And Subs on the Air.
Yes.
Now, you can contact them, but it's even more fun. I've operated twice from the USS Cobia.
Oh, neat.
From the radio room.
Wow. So. Oh, that's cool. I wouldn't fit in a sub. World War II
subs.
Probably
an accurate statement because I don't fit in a sub.
But they're cool. But actually, if you look at the contest stuff, there's something going on every weekend for amateur radio. If you want to go after stuff or special event stations and things like that, there's always that. During the 4th of July weekend, they had the 13 original colonies or 13 original states. You could try to have QSOs with each of those guys and
the state QSO parties.
Yes, all the state QSO parties. So there's really a lot to do. I just don't have the time right now.
There's got to be an aardvarks on the air somewhere or something.
Yeah, yeah. There's the island. You know, people do special events. They go out on different
IOTA,
islands.
Yep.
Yeah.
I qualify for that too.
Really? Oh, for one in
this
the middle?
This is an island.
Of course. That's true. I never thought about that. I thought maybe you went out to the other island that's out in Lake
City. Well, Isle Royale would count, but this is Copper Island. They keep calling it a peninsula, but it's like a 100-yard wide portage between our land and the next land over. There's only one bridge on and off.
Yep. Yep. So, but yeah, there's so much to do. But just going out, I watch a couple of their podcasts, but they're video podcasts, and one is I'm forgetting the name of it now. Amateur Radio, not Ham Nation, the other one that's been out for a while with a couple of the guys, and they always videotape. They go out in the middle of the field somewhere down in, I think they're in Louisiana, and you know, they show them setting up, and they show them actually operating, and you know, it always kind of reminds me, if it was like us doing that, that's the way we would be, you know. And they set up a tent, and they got air conditioners in it, because you know, it's always hot as hell down there. And they set up in the woods, so they, you know, they're not out in the direct sunlight, and they've got their antennas out in the field, but they set up the tents, and they usually put a tent in there, and then they put a canopy over the tent itself, and you know, it's just looks like it would be a lot of fun, and you know, of course, a lot of podcasting supplies would have to come along with that.
Of course.
You know, and you know, you need a couple of generators, and you know, of course, the equipment and setup and everything. It would be fun. It would just be a fun thing. We'll have to try to do that sometime. We can work that out somehow. So, well, should we get into Geek's Corner?
My front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Think I'm just too wide and nerdy. Can't you see I'm wide and nerdy? Look at me, I'm wide and nerdy.
And I had Pokemon Go for the first thing in Geek Corner, but we already kind of talked Pokemon Go out. It was in broken news because, well, it was on the story on everybody's, you know, TV. And then, of course, it's a geeky thing. So we'll skip that, and we'll go right to Michael.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I caught him off guard.
Well, I was sending you guys a text.
Oh.
I sent you the link to episode 243.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Both links, actually.
You know, I tried to send you a text earlier, and it didn't go through and showed up green for some reason.
Duh!
And it still wasn't delivered, so I haven't received your text, at least on my computer.
Okay. Let me know if you get these. Anyhow, okay. So Black Fly season is over as of the 4th of July, and then I was a little busy after the 4th of July, but...
Yay!
Which means I can start climbing my tower again in comfort. Not that I wouldn't climb it before, but, you know, it's been almost 8 years. I've almost got the tower up. It could wait a couple more weeks before I put the last two antennas up on it. Mm-hmm. And now with the $30 a piece end connectors that I bought at the last Hamfest, I am all set to put up the horizontal and the horizontal VHF and UHF beams and the tri-bander. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun.
And I even have a little hope. Excuse me. There was a time there I wasn't sure I really wanted to put those antennas up, but now I'm thinking, yeah, I don't think it's going to be wasted effort. So, it's time to get the amateur radio station on the air.
Wow.
Cool. And Bob up in Montreal is trying to figure out how he's going to hide his antennas and his home to be able to do QSOs with me. So we're working on that.
That would be good. Of course... I have equipment here kind of set up. I just got to get it better set up. It'd be fun to see if I can hit you from here, too.
Yeah, we've tried that before. It's like, yeah, I think I can hear you in the noise down there. But I was running my wire antenna, and you were running your wire antenna. Yeah. And
we could always try.
They were even aimed at each other.
Yeah, we could always try digital, too. So.
Yeah, I think with the three-element beam pointed in your direction at a kilowatt, you're going to hear me.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I generally got to the East Coast really well from my farm in Wisconsin, and the noise level's much better up here.
Yeah, so, Yeah, I think that won't be a problem. Whether you can hear me or not, that's another situation, but I'll definitely be probably able to hear you.
I think I'll hear you.
Okay.
That receiver, that beam really helps.
That beam, okay. Yep. Yeah, we'll have to try that. That'll be fun. So, okay.
Yep.
So the next story is Google quietly brings a service they have called Forgetting.
What?
And it's basically if you are worried about your online privacy, it mm-hmm. might be of interest to you that Google has quietly brought its Google Forget program to the U.S. It has made...
Which I think Evernote should sue them.
Yeah. Exactly. I was thinking about that, too, when I was reading this. It has made it quite simple for the most part. Simply go to myactivity.google.com to see the history of your searches, a YouTube viewing, and everything else you do on Google platforms, and then be guided through the process of trimming that history.
Really?
Yes, and there's a link in the show notes there for this article, and in that article there's also a link to myactivity.google.com. But they say be careful what you delete, because if you get rid of it, you may end up with, well, you know, generic advertising, and not things that are, you know, finely crafted for you to see. And I'm like, well, that's okay, because, you know, when I research something and then I purchase something, for the next 2 months I get advertisements about the thing I already purchased.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. I'm okay with not seeing that stuff. But yeah, I just thought that was kind of interesting, and it's been quietly introduced, and we should quietly take advantage of it.
Right, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm not actually
for those of you who have not been clearing your history all along.
Yeah, I've actually stopped using Google. I went over to DuckDuckGo.
Yeah,
because they claim they don't keep any of your information.
Yep. And same with IX Quick. So. IX Quick is another. That's the one I use.
Yeah. So I've been happy with DuckDuckGo so far. So I'll check out IX Quick too. But I'm getting tired of with Google. It was always like, you know, the first four or five things were like sponsored ones.
Sponsored stuff.
They tell you it's sponsored. Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, well, somebody's paying to be first, and I don't like that.
Right.
So, anyway. So that's that. I guess I'm next on the next one. I've been having major issues with my iCloud account lately. And really? When I say iCloud, it also means my iTunes account. Mm-hmm. A few days ago, a thing popped up and said, your account's been locked out. You need to click here and, you know, try to unlock your account. So I click there, and it says, well, you can either do it by email or you can answer your security questions. I said, let's answer my security questions. Well, first of all, I got to say, they have the stupidest questions they ask. And apparently I put in a couple in there, and they claimed I got it wrong. So they weren't unlocking my account because I got it wrong, or one of them wrong. And it's like, I'm pretty sure I know my dad's middle name.
Yeah. What was your shoe size in the sixth grade?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's the same as it is today. So, yeah. What road did you grow up on? I know what road I grew up on. You know. Yep.
I grew up there. I should know.
Yeah, I know it. And you're telling me I'm wrong? So... So then I had to do it by email. I said, okay, they're going to send me some freaking code that I got to enter. No, it made me reset my freaking password. So I reset my freaking password, and then all of a sudden, on every Apple device I own, it kept popping up and saying, you need to log in. You need to log in to iCloud. iCloud needs you to log in, you know? And I punched it in, and I got it all settled down. Well, about 2 days later, I'm getting the same thing. You need to log into iCloud. Why? I'm logged in. So I punch in, you know, the new password, Mm-hmm. I hadn't forgotten it because it was only a couple of days, and it kept rejecting it. And then it said, "Oh, your account's been locked." And I was like, "Oh, frick." So, you know, I didn't change my security questions last time I did this, so I just went directly to the mail, and of course it made me change my password again. This happened today. So I changed my password yet again, but this time while I was in there, I changed my security questions, and by the way, they have the stupidest security questions. And so I picked some.
You said that already.
Yeah, well.
You're just
did I mention
it.
That they have the stupidest security question? So I've set it all up again, and of course, immediately on every iDevice I own, I had to go in and sign into iCloud and everything. So I'm just wondering whether somebody's been hacking me or trying to hack me or something, and it's causing my machine to lock up or my account to lock up because of too many failed tries. Right. I'm not getting any notification about somebody trying to log in, but I'm just irritated because two times this week I had to change my password. And, you know, I've had the same frickin' password for several years now until this week. So, right. Just irritated.
That's pretty interesting to know. Actually, I tried to turn off, you know, what is it, photos? Mm-hmm. You know how you can buy extra gigabytes to save and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, I never really used that. Mm-hmm. And I haven't used it. So I thought, well, I'll step down to the next lower plan. Boy, did I have a hell of a time trying to do that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I put it in. It said it accepted it. Then I went to go back and check it to make sure that it was in that it took, and it didn't. And I thought, that's kind of weird. So, I don't know, maybe something's going on, you know, with the whole iTunes iCloud.
Maybe there's something funky going on. So, but speaking of iPhones and Apple things. Joel.
Yeah. Yes. Well, not that it's major earth-shattering news, but we are going to have another iPhone in the family.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's my son's birthday, and
I forgot I had that.
It's just a pain in the ass to potty train an iPhone, isn't it?
Yeah. It really is. But luckily, it won't be me having to do the potty training because it's for my our son. It was his birthday, and my beautiful bride and I decided, you know what? Well, for sure, we always got him iPhones before, you know, and I think the last one we had got him was a 4S, and it was using it just fine, and then somehow, some way, and God only knows what teenagers are thinking, but he decided that he wanted to go to Android. Now, I remember when I was toying around with the idea, but I did a lot of research, you know, on the forums, finding people who changed from iPhones back to Androids and what their gut reaction was, what it was after a week, a month, you know, 6 months of using it. And so, and I drew to the conclusion that, yeah, no, I'm not going to do it. Well, he did. And boy, has he been miserable since. He's like, I can't stand this. He goes, because obviously iMessage is out of the question.
Yeah.
So even if you're hitting on someone's Wi-Fi, let's say you don't have, and that's the problem he's run into on quite a number of occasions, is he'll go somewhere where he just does not have service with the carrier that he had on his Android. And I said, you know, so he's trying to send a text, or he can't make a phone call, and he can't use iMessage off the Wi-Fi. So we had said, well, how do you feel about that decision? He goes, I hate this thing. I says, well, here's your birthday gift. We're going to get you an iPhone and get you on our plan again. And this time, don't make any changes. And he said, trust me, I won't. So that's good. Well, we'll head on down to the U.S. Cellular store and get him an iPhone.
Nice.
Yeah, it'll be nice.
And I forgot to add this to the thing. I wanted to say that after Michael talking about the Wi-Fi, you know, Verizon's Wi-Fi chatting or telephone call service. And I said AT&T also has it, but I have the microcell. Well, I finally did the experiment. Because I noticed on my phone, when I was in the house, instead of, you know, the the five dots and then LTE and then the little Wi-Fi symbol when I'm on Wi-Fi. My phone actually had the five dots and it said Wi-Fi. And then it had the Wi-Fi symbol after it. And I said, huh. I said, I wonder. So I turned off my microcell and lo and behold, I'm still sending and receiving calls and it says I'm on Wi-Fi doing
nice.
That. So I don't need the microcell anymore. It's built into the phone.
Hey, I was going to ask Michael too. Quick question. Did you say that that feature works with the 5S as well, or does it start at the 6?
Starts at the 6.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, I guess I'm going to be turning my microcell back on then. My wife has a 5S. I didn't even think
about
that.
Yeah, I wish, but it doesn't work on the 5S. I checked it out. I tried. No go. But I've configured it for my wife and my two sons, and it works fine for them.
Okay.
Excellent. Okay. Okay.
Good to know. Another reason to upgrade Anne Marie's phone.
Yeah.
So, and speaking of upgrading, if you remember, because I distinctly remember talking, I would say, last October, one of the first shows in October, about the new Apple plan for purchasing phones through them.
Yep.
And if you're wondering why I know, I mean, my memory is so great that I can remember exactly what I said back last October is because I just listened to the show the other day. That's where I am in our shows. I listened to myself talking about this. I said, you know, I really do need to start checking that out because the new iPhone 7s are going to be coming out this year and I need to compare and see how much whether it's going to cost me more or less. Now, I haven't done the price comparison yet, but I did want to find out the gory details about the plan. And basically, if you sign up with the Apple plan, you pay from anywhere from $35 to $45, I think, depending on which phone you get. In my case, it'll be $45. but you pay that monthly and you basically say to, if you pay that monthly for 2 years and you get done, at the end of the 2 years, the phone is yours and it's an open phone, unlocked phone. So you can, although they make you pick a carrier when you begin, and I think you have to keep the carrier for a year, but it's only a year instead of, 2 years. And then you can unpick it. And because the phone's unlocked, if you want to get around that, and if you just get another SIM, I'm sure, but you still got to probably stay with that carrier for a year. I'm not sure. I don't know the gory details about that. But definitely, if you're traveling abroad a lot, and it would be a lot cheaper probably to pick up a new SIM and pop it in. And it will work on your phone while you're overseas. And I think that's a plus. Plus, when you sign up for a carrier, it is not a... you're not in a contract with them. So that's the confusing part. You're not in a contract, but I got to keep with them for a year. I don't... that sounds like a contract to me. But
yeah.
I need to check on that because... you're basically on a month-to-month thing, which means you're getting month-to-month their standard service, which means it's a lot cheaper. So you should be able to get cheaper coverage, and the phone... plus that cost also has AppleCare built into it. So you've got AppleCare. Now, at the end of 1 year, if you decide you want a new phone, you can trade your phone, your iPhone in for a new phone, and basically the 2 years start over at that point. So if you want to get a new phone every year, you can trade it in, get a new phone, and you continue your payments out for another 2 years. I think that's, unless you're planning on hanging on to the same phone forever, that doesn't sound like a bad plan to me. And I can switch carriers if I choose to. So I'm gonna do the pricing and seeing how much or less that is. But it's getting time to make that decision because, you know, I don't know whether I want to upgrade this year to the iPhone 7 or wait until next year with the anniversary iPhone or not. But if I go into this plan, then I can get an iPhone 7 and then still get the anniversary iPhone the next year. Might be the plan for me, since I end up paying this amount. I go to the end of my 2 years and then I get a new contract, so I'm paying. I'm still paying that price. So I'll let you know what the price difference is when I get down and calculate all that out and see how much it's going to cost me.
Right.
Hey,
I had a question for you guys, because you probably would know right off the top of your head, but the iPhone SE.
Yes.
That is essentially, like a shrunk down iPhone 6, isn't it?
No, it is exactly the same form factor as the iPhone 5S, because I actually gave, my son David got an iPhone 6 SE with 64 gig, which was still cheaper than the iPhone 6S.
Mm-hmm.
He liked the form factor, and he didn't buy a case right away, so I was able to give him the exact case from my iPhone 5S, and it fits his perfectly. So that's the form factor.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a little, the 5S is a little thicker than the 5, but it's the same form factor as the 5S.
Now, that's good to know, because I thought it went back to iPhone 4 size, but I was mistaken
about
that. It's a 5S size. Okay, so
but the SE's got like a better processor than the 5S in it, or something.
Yes, it's got the 12 meg camera. It's got the better processor. It does the Wi-Fi calling. I mean, it does everything. The only thing it doesn't do that the 6S does is it does not have the 3D touch.
Oh, who cares?
But most people don't care about that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. The touch phone, after all.
Yeah.
Okay, I was wondering about that because I'm sitting here looking at it right now on their website, and I'm like, oh, it's, you know, price wise, it's $40, $50 more than a 5S. And I thought,
just don't get the 16 gig version. That's the corporate version. That's a basic phone. Doesn't do anything else.
Oh, all right. Well,
much more. And actually, it's easier to get the 64 gig version than the 16. Because the 16s are being used by corporations and by people that think they're getting a deal.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You don't want the 16. But no. the next jump up from that is 64 gig, and my son has been really happy with it.
Okay. It's $100 more, but okay.
Well, yeah, but compare it to a 64 5S.
Yeah, they don't even offer it anymore.
Oh, really? A 64 5S?
I don't know what it is, but they're not.
Oh, you know what? Did they have? They had 64 and 5S. Yeah.
Yeah, yes, they had 128 and 5S too, didn't they, or no?
I don't remember.
No, I think they were only 64.
Yeah, up to 64?
Yeah. The iPad went up to 128, but the phone only went up to 64 on the 5 series.
So what I'm saying, it's still maybe only $30 or $40 more than a 64 gig 5S. Yeah, it's $100 more than a 16.
Right.
Gig one, but I don't know.
Well,
I think it'd be probably worth the money. Because not only that, but as we were talking before the show, Joel, the 5S is next year. You got 5S's for about a year. And after that, they're probably going to drop them because they're the bottom of the rung for this year.
Mm-hmm.
Which means next year, the 6 will probably be the bottom of the rung.
Yeah, I don't like the size of the 6. That's my thing.
Yeah,
it's too big.
But everybody's liking that 6. What is it? 6 SE?
They just called the SE.
Oh, the SE. Yeah.
SE. Yeah.
And you get the better. You get like Michael said, you get the better CPU, the processor, and better camera. And yes, for you, that would probably fit because you know how you stick things in your pockets and stuff.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. I don't want anything that's the size of the 6 was borderline.
Mm-hmm.
The 6 plus, no way, way too big.
And I'm sorry. And your Mophie juice box will probably fit it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it would plug right into the SC, so I don't have to buy new cases.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's what I would recommend going with.
Yeah, when we were actually looking when we got Mark phone, we were looking for a 5S 32 gig for him. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be cheaper to buy him a 6S with 64 gig than it would have been to buy the 5S with 32 on it.
Oh, wow.
And now the 6SE is even less expensive than that. The 64 gig 6SE that my oldest son got is, I don't know, it's like $20 or $30 a month less than the 6S 64
gig. Right.
And he's got young eyes, so
he can read it.
Was fine for him.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it, I'll just pinch to zoom.
Yep.
Yes, that's how I survive.
All right. Well, Michael.
Yes, I almost forgot to mention this, but you brought up trading sims, and I thought, that reminds me. I did get Travel Pass before going to MMPR, and I was in a lot of angst the first day because the one thing that doesn't work smoothly is it doesn't tell you that it's working initially.
Huh.
When you look up the documentation on Travel Pass, he says, when you go over international and you know it activates Travel Pass, you'll get a confirmation email. Bullshit. I didn't get the confirmation email. I didn't get a confirmation text. What I got was a text saying, welcome to Canada. Check out our international plans at. And I'm like, I should have an international plan. And because of that, I called Verizon twice from Canada. I texted my wife and had her call Verizon. And they're like, yeah, that part's broke. But you know it's working. At the end of 24 hours, you'll get a confirmation email asking if it's okay to charge you $2 again for the next day. And I'm like, yeah, well, by then I will have racked up, you know, hundreds of dollars of charges if this isn't working right. So this is as long as it's on the record. So I was a little uptight that first night and the next day. But at basically 5:28 on Friday, which corresponds to when I crossed the bridge on Thursday, I got a confirmation text saying, your first Travel Pass day is expiring. If you use your phone after this, it will charge you another $2. Like, I don't give a crap about the $2. Right. So it works. It works fine.
Good.
The European version is $10 a day, but still, that's cheap compared to what it used to be. So now, is it really worth the, I mean, if you're going to be there for weeks or months, it's still worth getting a SIM locally. But now for $10 a day, if you're going to be there for a week or two, now you're just got your own real number and your own real iMessage and everything, and just keeps working.
Yeah. Oh. That's, I'm hoping one day that all this bullshit drops. Yeah. For the imaginary lines.
Oh, that was the second part of this. I don't know how AT&T is dealing with this, but Verizon does seem to get this whole contract stuff because now when we are finishing a plan on phones and they go out of plan or out of contract, they're dropping the price on that phone per month. So they're no longer charging us that, you know, ubiquitous X number of dollars a month, no matter what.
They should. Actually, all the carriers are starting to draw, you know, the part where you sign up for a new contract, and you pay extra money because you financed your phone. They treat that separately. You get a 2-year contract, but then you get the part where you finance your phone and it gets added in. But at the end of the 2 years, that automatically gets dropped. Whereas the old way of doing it, like you were saying, that would used to continue if you didn't say something to them. It's like, hey, I paid off this phone, or give me a new plan because I don't have a new phone. They would. Yep. It was up to you, but that's good to hear that they're dropping it. This is Verizon that's doing that, right?
This is Verizon. I don't know how AT&T is dealing with it, but
I'm not sure, and I probably won't be able to let you know because I'll probably be jumping right into it. Like I said, I will let you know because I'll probably be getting a different contract with if I stick with AT&T, and going with the iPhone or the Apple contract. So we shall see, but that's good news. And I know AT&T does have contracts now that you can get where they have special deals where it's, you know, North America and Canada. So, and I haven't looked into those deals or not, but I don't, you know, if that's like, if I get that, then I'm good to go anywhere in North America and Canada, that would be cool without paying extra. Right. So, I'll need to look into that too, because I'd be willing to pay a couple extra bucks because we live so close to Canada that, you know, it would be almost, it would pay to get it. So.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So, last thing on Geek's Corner. I know a while ago, and I was asking about different streaming music services and trying out different ones, and wasn't happy with the iTunes one, and tried out what's it called? That one. You know.
Yeah, the thing.
The thing, sure. The green one. What's it called? There it is.
The thing with the thing.
Spotify.
Yes.
Spotify had good music, but I found, and Anne-Marie found, that their GUI was confusing and complicated and not good if you're driving in a car. Since we tend to, well, at least I listen to a lot of music on there. So, and Doug wrote in made some comments, and I thank Doug for his input on that. But we decided, because every time we get in the car, we throw on Pandora and we listen to the free version of that and just complain every time the commercials come on, that we decided, you know, that's the one we're used to. We like the music we get off of it. We're going to go, and it's the cheapest one. Right, we just went out and got a Pandora One account.
I've been using it for years.
Yeah.
And when you get Pandora One, you get higher quality.
Yes, you do.
It's an option, but you get higher quality.
Now, the only thing that I'm finding quite annoying with it is we only have one account, which is fine, because usually both of us aren't listening to Pandora at one time or another, or at the same time. And it says that it's good for any account that's, any device that's under my control, which pretty much all the iDevices are under my control here. But I've been finding that if I'm playing it on my phone and then I want to listen to it at work, I have to transfer it, the account, because it keeps telling me, do you want to get a Pandora One account? No, I already have one. And I click, and then it sends email messages out to all the places and says, oh, we transferred your account to this device. And now Anne-Marie wants to listen to it on her iPhone, and she's got to go down. And it's on the page where you sign up for a new account, but down at the bottom it says, basically, if your account is through iTunes, if you already have an account through iTunes, click here to transfer the account. So she has to click it, and then she gets it, and then, of course, I get notifications. Oh, your account's been changed over to this device. And I'm like, that's annoying. Why don't you just let it happen on all the devices?
It doesn't do that to me.
Really?
I listen to Pandora on my phone and on three different MacBooks.
Really?
Now, they're all under my login.
Yeah, so all our iDevices are under my login.
Yeah, I have no, it transfers ubiquitously. I don't have to transfer anything. I stop listening on one device, listen on another device, and then it doesn't burp, nothing.
Do you have your account through iTunes? Or
yes.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, I may have to give them a call on iTunes. That.
Yeah, because I have no issues at all.
Now, what happens if Anne-Marie tries to listen to it and I try to listen to it at the same time?
That might be an issue.
Yeah.
But although, you know, I've actually had it on two machines at once without, you know, by accident, and mm-hmm. it didn't complain at all.
Okay. I'm just, yeah, okay. I may have to call them and ask them about that, because I reread it and it says, yes, although it's made for one person, it should work on any device that's under your name.
Right.
And it does for me.
And Anne-Marie and I share my iTunes account. I mean, so it's there, and we use the same Pandora account, obviously. And, yeah.
I know the guy who wrote it.
Oh, really?
Software's not under his control anymore, but yeah, I know the guy. Personally, yeah. I know the guy who wrote it.
Hmm. Well, we're quite happy with it, except for that little part of it. But
okay.
It's so nice not to have the commercials anymore.
And I've been on Pandora One for years. I love it. It's been a very worthwhile investment for me. But yeah, I transfer it to machines all over the time, you know, all over the place. And as soon as I log in, my username and password,
Yeah. Oh, you know, maybe that's machine. What's throwing off my iCloud account.
It could be. I don't know.
Oh, what's going on? Well, okay, I'll have to look into that. Because that's the only annoying thing I've found so far. And otherwise, you know, yeah, we love Pandora. We've always used Pandora. And I was just looking to see if there was anything better out there. And, you know, for $4.99 a month, it ain't bad.
Right.
So. Yep. Yeah, one of my coworkers, his nickname is Pandy, and there's a reason for that.
He's the guy, huh?
He wrote the first line of code for that company.
Wow.
And he was there up until last year when he joined our division.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Joel knows, too, because we listened to Pandora quite a bit of a way up to visiting you, Mike, and actually going to MMPR last year.
MMPR, yeah.
And we really started getting, not that the commercials happen that often, but when they do, oh, they're the most awful commercials ever created, and they're the same damn commercials every time.
Yep. Well, they actually localize, too.
Yeah. Yes, they are localized, and they were the worst ones.
Welcome for Calumet City Parkway Chevrolet.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah,
ours was,
this is the Lone Ranger with his sidekick Easy Credit. We're here to sell you a car.
Ours was something in Keene that was going on all the time. Oh,
yeah, a car dealership. Nissan dealership in Keene.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, and I said, we're freaking in Ohio now. Why are we hearing freaking commercials? But, yeah, and they don't pop up the advertisement over top of the song information, too. That's the nice thing. Because when a song comes on, you know, every once in a while I like to glance down because I want to say, who did that song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, and you can choose for higher audio quality, mm-hmm. and the buffering seems to be better.
Yes. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, we've not had a single bit of problems with Pandora, except for when we're in an area that... if we're in an extended area with no coverage... the song we're listening to finishes, and then we don't get anything until we're back.
Welcome to the Sounds of Silence, the original version by Simon Garfunkel.
Yeah, but it still beats satellite radio. Yes. I'm telling you, it has better coverage than satellite radio does up here, anyway, in New England. Satellite radio absolutely sucks up here because of the forestation and the mountains and everything getting in the way of the signal all the time. So, anyway, okay, that's it for Geek's Corner. Anybody got anything else?
I don't.
Okay, let's get into our favorite segment.
Hello, and welcome to another Late Night QRM edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and we do actually, this particular episode, have a few stories to tell, and first up is Barry.
Okay, first I want to say one thing.
Yeah?
You're the only host of Bottom Gear.
Well, we all co-host.
No, you're the host of the segment. I just want to tell you that I'm one of the hosts of unless we kick you out like what happened before because of past things that had to answer to. You are the host of Bottom Gear. So
speaking of which, I wanted to say real quick, because of my absolute giddy excitement
mm-hmm.
of knowing that the boys will be back on Amazon in November.
November. Oh, you heard a date. Good.
Yes, it's actually, they posted it. Was it August, September? I'm going to say it was November. I'm going to double check on that now.
Okay.
The I've actually started watching old Top Gears again.
Getting ready.
Oh, yeah. And the Grand Tour is the name of the show.
Yep, the Grand Tour. Very cool.
Sorry, let me step on you. Go ahead, Barry.
No, that's all right. My first thing, and it's I put it under bottom gear because it's just something I've noticed as I'm driving down the highway these days. What is it with this pumpkin orange color that all vehicles are being made from now? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed the pumpkin orange car color?
It's a Subaru. Subaru came out with the initially has the color.
Yeah, they have it, but then it's spreading. It's like a virus. It's spreading. I've seen Nissans. I've seen, God forbid, I think Toyota's got that color now.
Yeah.
I just, it's not a pretty color. I'm just saying. At least I don't like it. But somebody could make a mint if they created a, for around Halloween time or the fall, if they created a big green cut-off stalk to put on the top of the car. I think that would sell.
Little black triangles, the big eyes and a mouth.
There you go. But that's the only bottom gear thing I have. I just noticed that, it's kind of like, you know, with the appliances and kitchen appliances, you either got it in the Harvest Gold or the, what was it called? The green, what color was that green called? I forget. The Harvest Gold and the green. All at one point, all kitchen appliances came in only those two colors at one point. Uh-huh. Now I'm worried that, you know, this orange is going to take off and everybody's going to have orange cars driving around.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
No.
By the way, there's actually a Facebook page for Amazon's original, the Grand Tour.
Ah, okay.
I just was trying to find out the hard date. It says autumn 2016. So it actually might be in October, I believe. So, but if you're interested, they do have a Facebook page. You can check it out. There's videos of them from shooting parts of the show, cool. Pictures, the whole nine yards.
All right. Check it out. How do you know that on Facebook? You don't go on Facebook.
Well, if you do a Google search, it brought up as a Facebook. Okay. I'm not signed into Facebook, but it'll show you the front page.
Okay. Just curious. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, no. A lot of times whenever I'm looking, but if I click on anything, it says, please log into your Facebook, which obviously I don't have. Mm. Yep.
And then you have to go out and buy a new computer when you smash your fist through the screen.
Yeah, I will never sign up for Facebook. Ever.
All right. That's all I had.
Michael.
So, yeah. I already touched on it earlier, but I did decide to take the gamble and take David's Jeep to Sault Ste. Marie, and very pleased with the experience. I mean, it's not meant to be a cross-country car. It's definitely not an Autobahn vehicle. Isabel got a kick out of it. I mean, it's a 19-year-old Jeep. It's about as utilitarian as it gets, but it's got personality, and just running good. It's awesome. Still loud. It's difficult to do a podcast from inside of it, but you get by.
Yep, you sounded good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I had fun. Oh, and I'll split subjects here, but the Fred update. Got to mention Fred.
Oh.
Okay. So Fred has ordered the parts, and Fred has also told me when they come in that he is going to help me reassemble the tractor.
Oh,
that's so nice.
Now we've got a diesel master here who's going to be who's used to hydraulics and everything else. So this is looking pretty good. I mean, it's going to be the best chance for this patient yet.
Nice. Barry, I'm thinking a road trip. I'm thinking a road trip up to Copper Harbor so we can see the assembled tractor.
Well, I'm serious about doing the time lapse. We'll set up one of the old iPads and just do a time lapse over the. Because it's going to take about a week to do it in my spare time.
Right.
But that should make a good video.
Yeah, and post on YouTube.
Yeah, I bet you
got it. Add it to my snow video.
Yeah, there you go.
Getting a little old at this point.
Wow. Cool.
Definitely. Well, plus I'm using it as an excuse to go back up and visit. Yeah. Plus I have to go through Toledo. I'm Canada.
No, you don't have to go through Toledo if we.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it was.
Canada.
Exactly. I was like, you know, oh, I just have to go back down through Toledo. I mean, no. So I'd actually like to make the trip up via Canada and over to see Michael and Chris. I think it's going to be, it would be a much more pleasurable road trip.
Hmm. Yep.
That would be yep. Awesome. Okay, so much for that. Moving on. what was I going to say? So I'm up next. At good news. Good news. Daisy has brakes again.
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, please.
You need a bumper for screeching tires there.
Yeah. That would be good. But, and here is the big but. So when Daisy was up on the lift, and it was my son and Dr. Kenny working on Daisy, getting her track shoes ready to stop her while running, mm-hmm. and so she had some breakage. Take a look up underneath, and he said, "Ooh, dude." Now, whenever the statement starts off, "Dude," I know it's not going to be good.
You start looking in the back of Kenny's place and. Let's see. Who's the next car?
Yeah, he's like, dude. I'm like, what? He goes, a little neon? I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, she ain't going to make it through inspection for next year. Hmm. And I said, yeah. By how much? He said, by like a shit ton of welding. He said, and I'm like, really? He goes, yeah. He says he said by the inspection time rolls around, the whole ass end of that car and the floorboards and it are just gonna be way too tender that it wouldn't be worth fixing on a neon. You know, if it was a Jeep, if it was a collector car, but on a neon, he said, we'd have to go halfway up the car to catch on the good metal to start replacing all the way to the back of the car.
Ouch.
And I'm like, not for a $650 Dodge Neon I bought 8 years ago, we're not.
Yeah. She's done her best. It's time for her to be put out to pasture.
She's going to be put out to pasture. So we reinforced, welded a lot of repairs that had been done to it in this past week. Brakes are all set. Debbie and I said to our daughter, I'm like, okay, here's the deal. It's solid, it's safe, but you only got it for 6 months. So all the pennies that you're making from your part-time and actually full-time summer jobs until you start back up at college, stash them away and be prepared to look for a vehicle. Because in 6 months, I ain't taking the time to weld half this car back together again.
Yeah.
So you get 6 months. That's what you got out of her. And then from there, she's being put out the pasture. Yep. So, I mean, it's good news and sad news at the same time, but it was inevitable. You cannot keep driving a 1998 Dodge Neon through these winters that we normally you had up here and expect it to survive for very long, especially with a vehicle that's got about 2 inches of ground clearance.
Right.
So that's, I mean, that's, it's good. So she's up and she's on the road and. It's, you know, definitely, you tell any teenager, hey, here's a car, but it's only, you can only drive it for a couple of months. And then from there, if anything else breaks, we're not going to worry about fixing it. All they heard is, here's a car. They didn't hear any of the other stuff.
Yeah.
So that's that. And lastly for me, I mean, we've all heard me hem and haw over the years about, now I love riding Elvira, and I got my bike, then I don't ride it much, and I should maybe sell it. Then I think, no, I won't. I'll start riding it again, and blah, 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 blah. Well, in lieu of recent current events that was mentioned earlier in the show, Days of Our Lives, Elvira is at the shop up for sale.
Smart move.
Yeah. I was talking to Barry in the pre-show, been there, done that, got several t-shirts, and we're done with that now, because even when everything's all fixed up as best can be expected, There's no way in hell I'm going to be riding on a motorcycle. No, thank you. And even if it was felt 100%, I would want to risk it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's time to move on to pick up with old projects. As it turns out, my son was working on the late night QRM Jeep.
Ah, there you go.
Sweet. Yeah, yeah. Which I actually kind of just said, I'm done with it. But turns out he was ripping the seats out of it and grinding up the out the metal, welding in metal on the floors, and put bed liner in the entire inside tub of the Jeep. So I'll find another hobby thing to work on, but it'll have four wheels.
I have a feeling somebody else is going to end up with a Jeep.
Yeah, he is chomping at the bit. I have to get my wife really wants a Cherokee, so I'll end up getting one of those too.
Yeah. Wow. All right. I think that's going to do it for Bottom Gear, so let's move right into Entertainment Last Month. And welcome, everybody, to Entertainment Last Month. This is the part of the show where we talk about stuff that's new to us, but it's probably months old to you, but that's okay. Because, you know, it's new to us. So I want to start off with a show that I discovered on Netflix for two seasons. It's been out for three seasons, and so I marathoned. Not all at once, practically. I marathoned season one, season two, and then had to go to the Magic Antenna for season three, because that was this year. It's AMC's Turn. And Turn, it's basically Washington's spy ring. He had some spies that would go spy on the British during the Revolutionary War and vice versa. And I'm just telling you, it's kind of, I want to say the show's kind of like Vikings, where they try to be historically accurate, but it's an action drama show.
Right.
So, it's very good. I started watching it, and it's one of those things I just couldn't put it down, you know? And so I highly recommend to check it out. The first two seasons are on Netflix. And I'm sure the third season's done already. So I'm sure it will move on. And, boy, I wonder how it's going to work out in the end. Who's going to win, the British or the colonies?
Yeah.
But... it's a very good show. I really enjoyed it.
It'll spin off into the show called Hamilton, I think.
Yeah, it'll be wrapped, right? Actually, Hamilton's been on it already.
Oh, yeah. So, and Washington was in Hamilton. We get a crossover.
Yeah, there you go. So that was that one. And then rumors, this is for future stuff. I don't know whether it was Netflix or Amazon, but one of them is planning to reboot Lost in Space as a new series.
Really?
Yes.
Could they possibly find somebody as annoying as Dr. Smith?
I don't know.
Gilbert Gottfried, maybe. But, I mean, it's...
Well, I have a feeling if they reboot, it'll be kind of like the movie, which the movie was, it was okay. I don't think they'll make Dr. Smith annoying like that. I think Dr. Smith will be just one of these evil, maniacal persons, you know, that's always doing something.
Uh-huh.
You know, but also pretending to be their best friend.
And then turn around and say, by your command or something.
Yes, yeah. There you go. So, looking forward to that. It might be interesting. So, with that, we go to Michael.
So, yeah, continuing on my World War II binge here. Well, there's actually a World War I show, but I'll save that for the next episode. two recommendations this week. Walking with Destiny, a documentary of Winston Churchill. Incredible.
Really
highlights, you know, what a human being the guy was and how aware of what, you know, what was happening. And he was not a young guy. It's not a spoiler, but I mean, this episode on Netflix starts out with his funeral in 1965 when he was 90. Wow. That means he was 70 years old when he was leading the UK at the end of the war.
Wow.
That puts a different spin on things.
Yeah.
And that's so that's part one. Again, Walking with Destiny, Winston Churchill. The second one I just finished watching today. It's called Shooting Iwo Jima, the story of Bill Genost. Now, everybody's seen the flag raising, you know, still, the black and white picture that's been everywhere. But Bill Genost was a staff sergeant who was doing 16-millimeter color. So all those end-of-day TV broadcasts where they end with, you know, the flag flying, that's actually his video from Iwo Jima.
Really?
And very, very good story. Talks about how he enlisted, why he enlisted, and his career in the Marines. And he did not leave Iwo Jima. His body is still there.
Oh, wow.
He was killed 9 days after he shot that video of the raising of the flag.
Wow.
But incredible documentary. So I recommend both of those highly. That's this week's recommendation by the Virtual Uber.
All right.
Excellent.
And Joel.
Yes. Well, as it happens, just prior to the show, heck, I was almost late. Thank you, Michael, for sending out a text prior to the show because I hadn't realized the time. My beautiful bride and I bought on Amazon Prime Deadpool, and we watched it, and I freaking loved it. Yeah. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed every second of that movie.
That was a great movie.
The comedy on it was just—it was just the right. I mean, I am impressed. I don't get, you know, I love movies, watch a lot of them. I don't get impressed by many, you know, from start to finish. That you just when you sit back, go, "Damn, that was a great movie. I'm glad I watched that." You know, this was one of them for me. I am really looking forward to Deadpool 2, and hopefully that it. It holds up to the first one.
Yeah. I even like the end when they were doing the Ferris Bueller
thing. Yeah, the Ferris Bueller ending.
Don't tell me too much. Oh, I'm the only one in the family here who has not seen it.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yep. There you go. But okay. I have to say, I mean, there were parts, you just sit back there. I loved it. I liked the way it was shot. I thought it was great. So, Michael, hopefully you enjoy it. My review, again, I'm late to the game just seeing it now, and it's been out for, what, a half a year or a year almost now? Great film.
Yeah.
Great film.
Just a warning, Michael, it is a bit crass.
No, it's crass.
I've heard that.
It's crass.
So how many grouchy coffees do you give this, Joe?
Out of a possible 5 cups of grouchy coffee, this is definitely a 5-cupper.
All right.
Okay, well, I'll have to check this out.
Definitely.
Yeah, I would agree with Joel. It was a very good movie. So I loved it. It was, you know, nice. It's action-packed and funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very good. All right. I think that's going to do it for us this week. We do have a musical guest this week, and because of my choice in Pandora as the music stream, I've decided to play random Pandora picks. So I started up Pandora today and turned it on, and the first song I heard, and it was difficult. I had to do a quick call, but... Dr. Hook was able to make it to be our musical guest this week, and he's going to perform the song A Little Bit More.
Nice.
So, all right. So with that, as we always do at the end of the show, we want to thank all the military members out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, for what you're doing. Stay safe. especially the Oconus guys. Oh, hell, even the Conus guys need to stay safe now. be careful, and we hope you get back home to your families and friends real soon. And until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. So, with that, from the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, I'm Barry J.
And from south central New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And I was late to the party today. Well, family things happen. This is Michael, the virtual Uper, in the suburbs of Copper Harbor.
And that's it for show 217. Show 218 soon. Until then.
Woot!
What?
I said woot.
Oh, woot.
Woot.
Until then, here's Dr. Hook.
When your body's had enough of me and I'm laying flat out on the floor, when you think I've loved you all I can, I'm gonna love you a little bit more. Come on over here and lay by my side. I've got to be touching you. Let me rub your tired shoulders the way I used to do. Look into my eyes and give me that smile, the one that always turns me on. And let me take your hair down, 'cause we're staying up to greet the sun. On my mind, and you know where my mind has been. I guess I learned my lessons, and now's the time to begin. So if you're feeling all right and you're ready for me, I know that I'm ready for you. We better get it on.
Samson, speak. Good boy.